Father, I pray that as I come to bring your word this morning, you would open all our ears and hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take your seats. This morning, I read our reading and was praying about what to speak on, and I felt led to speak on the topic of prayer. Now, you would be justified in listening to our reading, the story of Bartimaeus, and thinking there isn't a lick of prayer in it. And in many respects, you would be right in that there are no clasped hands, no pious liturgy, no bended knees that we know of. Perhaps you can sense from my tone that I want to suggest that prayer is something far more than that, something quite different. Prayer is an encounter between us and our Maker. It is an encounter that leaves us changed. Yes, it is true, Jesus Christ is not walking the earth today in the way that he was when he encountered Bartimaeus, but by the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can encounter God today. I want to suggest two things. Firstly, that prayer is a relationship with God. And secondly, that prayer changes things. Firstly, prayer is a relationship. Let's think about the text for a minute. Bartimaeus, in his desperation, cries out to Jesus. I believe, no matter what our background, no matter where we are from in this world, that every single one of us is hardwired to pray. There is something instinctive within us that cries out to God. Even if that's not something we recognize as prayer, it is prayer. I heard someone say once, if a plane was going down, many, many people would find themselves a lot more religious than they thought they were. A dear friend of mine, one of my best friends, is an avowed atheist. We've had some fantastic discussions. And she recently lost her mother-in-law. And it was a very unpleasant situation. And she messaged me and said, you know this isn't my bag, but would you pray, please? And I just said, of course. If we want to grow in any way, if we want to grow numerically as a church, and if we want to grow in the depth of our character, in our individual discipleship, it has to begin with prayer. I am so guilty of saying, I've run out of ideas. I don't know what to do. We best pray. I don't know why it's the last thing I turn to instead of the very first, as if what I could do is in any way greater than what the Lord could do. Since we moved into the vicarage, I've been trying to be a bit more disciplined in my prayer life and been getting up before the kids to have some quiet time and prayer. I'm not going to lie, they get up early. It's quite tough. But actually, I wouldn't miss it for the world now. It's become part of the rhythm of what I do. And my entire day is impacted by whether I am able to make that time with God or not. Recently, I was praying, and I point that way because I sit in the corner of the living room where I can just about see the top of St. Paul's. And I was praying about our future together and what the Lord might want to do. And God gave me a picture of this church and roots going down from the church, deep, deep, deep into the ground. And on each of these roots, through the foundations of the church, was written prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. I'll speak about worship another time, but focusing on prayer today, prayer is our relationship with Him, and prayer changes things. And there is a danger, particularly in a church of this size, that we just get so busy. We get really busy doing the stuff that we actually miss the point. We don't stop just to be before the Lord. A verse that is going round and round and round my head at the moment is, if the Lord does not build the house, the laborers labor in vain. Prayer is not an activity of doing. It is the act of being before God, such as Bartimaeus was. And prayer is a relationship. If I'm in a crowd with my family and I hear Finn's voice calling for me, he doesn't need to tell me that it's him. I know that it's him because I know his voice. And I believe that that is God's will for us in prayer, that we would get to know him, that we would learn more about him and therefore more about ourselves as we pray. Turning back to our text, Bartimaeus was ordered to be quiet. There are things in life, little insidious creeping things, that prevent us from praying. And they are subtle, but powerful. I'll hold my hands up. One of mine is social media. I have a time in the evening where invariably I'm trying to get Will asleep. He's in his bed, the lights are off, I'm sitting there, and I'm scrolling on my phone. And ironically, I was on Twitter and someone tweeted, "What if every time we picked up our phones to look at social media, we prayed instead? Or perhaps even just first, how our prayer lives would be transformed." Again, is it the last thing in my day or is it the first thing in my day, setting up my whole day potentially to be peppered with prayer? Is it the creeping lie that actually God isn't listening or that your voice doesn't matter? Friends, let me be clear, that is a lie. William Barclay said, "Bartimaeus heard the tramp of feet. He asked what was happening and who was passing. He was told, it's Jesus. There and then, he set up an uproar to attract Jesus' attention. To those listening to Jesus' teaching, the uproar was an offense. How dare he? They tried to silence Bartimaeus. But no one was going to take him from his chance to escape the world of darkness. And he cried with such violence that the procession stopped and he was brought to Jesus." Notice that it is not Jesus trying to silence him. It is the stuff that gets between us and Jesus that prevents our prayer life being what it could be. And Bartimaeus' persistence is rewarded. He throws off his cloak. He leaps up. He's got Jesus' attention. I spoke to one or two of you about your prayer life here, and that was a humbling experience. I want to share with you one or two quotes that were sent through to me. Someone who wishes to remain anonymous said, "I love to be with God and spend time with him. It's just like having a coffee with someone or going for a walk through the woods. I meet with him in nature, just to be. Space away from the busyness of everyday life. I love the different types of prayer. Prayers of praise, numerous psalms in the Bible, imagining the whole world, the whole of creation, praising his name. The prayers which are cries for help, either for your own situation or someone else's, when you pray in your heart or with tongues because there are no words to describe how you feel, or even what you're asking for, but you know you're just a child and he is God, and he is far bigger in this situation and can handle anything. It is amazing how often in those times you think you're praying for something, but actually the end result is greater than anything you can imagine. I love to journey daily with him and to see the magic of what is around the corner, overflowing with joy of what a good God he is and what he's doing in the world right now, in this moment, all over the world. And we get to join in this adventure with him." I was absolutely blown away by that testimony of a life filled with prayer. And honestly, it made me feel slightly ashamed about my own prayer life. All I can say, you know who you are, is thank you for inspiring me and inspiring all of us. I also want to share with you a quote from Mother Teresa. "Prayer is but a minor elevation of the mind." Prayer is not what happens necessarily when we sit and kneel and put our hands together, although it is also that. It is a simple elevation of the mind. Whatever is going on around us, it's drawing God into that with us. Bartimaeus seems to have a similar faith to the testimony I just shared. He knows he needs the Lord. and he is calling on him as one who is in relationship with him, because prayer is a relationship. Before we look at prayer that changes things, I want to ask Judy to come up and share with us this morning. Judy very bravely has agreed to be interviewed this morning because, again, I was speaking to people about people that are inspirational rocks of prayer for this church, and Judy's name came up more than once. Judy, would you mind sharing with us how prayer is a relationship for you?
Well, at one time, prayer to me was something that had to be done in the right place, at the right time, in the right posture, and with the right words. And in fact, when I first joined a home group in this church, I would write the prayers down to make sure that the words were right. But now, and of course this relates to something that happened really in my life, but perhaps talk about that in a minute. But now, prayer is something that I really feel is that Jesus is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's one of my favorite songs. And I think What a Friend We Have in Jesus was taken to Letton Hall and used in the prayer house there. And I pray that you were as inspired as I am by those words. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I can talk to him about anything. It's wonderful. And to be able to walk along the road as that testimony we've just heard, wonderful. Looking at the colours, the sky, just everything about all of creation around us. And to know that I can talk to God, talk to Jesus as my friend, tell him everything, what I've got to do today. I don't have to find the right words. The words are right, I feel. That I can trust in him. I can tell him everything about my fears, my thoughts, my concerns, my joys, my love for him, my love for my family, everything. That's, I feel, is the relationship now at this later stage in my life that I'm so privileged to have with him.
Thank you. And as we come on to our second half of the sermon, prayer that changes things, would you be willing to share a time where prayer has changed something?
Thank you, Jenny. Yes, as I just said, my attitude to prayer, from having to be the right words and the right posture and all of that, changed radically. Many years ago now, actually, but it was such a huge occasion in my life. When my husband Clyde became very ill and was in hospital. I know some of you have heard me talk about this before. It was such a devastating blow, such a huge sense of loss, and I really found myself just crying out to God. I didn't have the words. It was just sort of this gut-wrenching prayer, oh God. Oh God, nothing coherent. But he heard me, and I believe that's when my relationship changed with him. So that was the time that it has made such a huge difference in my whole life of prayer, my prayer life, that I can speak to him as friend, as father, and just to trust in him completely. And here we are, 20-odd years on, and we have done things and are still doing things, I hope, within this lovely church family that we would never, ever, I would never have contemplated, never thought I could do, like standing up here and talking to you now, without his help. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's have a round of applause. Thank you. Prayer changes things. I want to read you an excerpt of Tim Matthews' extraordinary book, Love Church. By May 1940, The British Expeditionary Force, BEF, was in full-scale retreat from the Nazis as they swept through Europe. They withdrew to Dunkirk. The German High Command boasted that the British Army was encircled and its troops were proceeding to its annihilation. Well over 300,000 were stranded and under attack. Initially, it was estimated that just 45,000 troops could be rescued of that 300,000. General Brooke, the British Corps commander, wrote in his diary, "Nothing but a miracle can save us now." Acknowledging the dire situation, King George VI called a national day of prayer on Sunday, the 26th of May. At least three miracles occurred. First, Hitler overruled his generals and halted the advance of the Nazi armored columns, the head of which was only 10 miles away from the BEF. History has yet to explain that decision. Second, violent storms erupted over the Flanders area on Tuesday, the 28th of May, surrounding the Luftwaffe and enabling ground troops to make their way by foot to relative safety. Thirdly, despite the raging storms inland, the sea state remained unnaturally calm, and this enabled a fleet of 900 ships to make repeated trips with minimal attack from the air. In the end, 338,000 troops were evacuated. According to Churchill, it was a miracle of deliverance. Friends, prayer makes a difference. As I touched on in my sermon on suffering a few weeks ago, it's not always the difference that we think it needs to make or that we are hoping for, but prayer changes things. And I want each of us to be actively involved in serving this church, very much so. I want us to be involved in volunteering and helping out on Alpha and with our young people. There is so much work to do. But before we do any of that, I want us to be a people of prayer. I'd like to share a story with you, a story of my friend Steve. I know him via another friend of mine who she and I go back 18 years, and her name is Scarlett. And we are dear, dear friends. And one of the things that has been troubling for her is how long it took her to meet the right person. Over and over again, she had her heart broken. And finally, she met this guy who was kind and successful and loving, and he adored her, most importantly. He has inherited his family business, which is highly lucrative, and they are just good people doing life well. They give, they work hard. He is involved in Ironman, and he runs marathons, and they enjoy the good stuff of life. They go skiing, they enjoy their sun holidays, and there has been recent talk of marriage. On the 20th of May this year, I received the following text message. "Jenny, I need your prayers, please, more than ever. Steve is seriously injured in hospital. I need all the help I can get. Sorry for the late and random message, but I don't know where else to turn. If you could say a prayer, I'd be grateful." My friend is Jewish, but Steve is completely agnostic, and praying isn't part of their day-to-day life. She's not a practicing Jew. It's cultural. What had happened that afternoon was that he had been out racing his motorbike, which he did recreationally, and he'd come off the bike. That in itself wouldn't have caused too much trouble, but the motorbike spun multiple times and spun straight into his spine. The initial prognosis was complete paralysis from the neck down. A day or two later, as soon as I was able, I drove to the hospital, which was a few hours away, and I met her outside, as you can imagine, just devastated. As we walked in together, I spotted a face I recognized, which was out of context and somewhat surprising. But it was my friend Phil, who I had trained in college with, and transpires had become the hospital chaplain. So after a warm reunion, my brain quickly clicked in and I introduced him to my friend in the hope and prayer that they would stay in touch. She and I sat in the hospital chapel as we were not allowed in to see Steve, and we, using Anglican liturgy, which she was more comfortable with, performed a healing service. We anointed with oil, I prayed on her hands and encouraged her to go and pray with him. We did everything. We did everything we could possibly think of. We prayed Psalm 91, the great prayer of protection, which coincidentally then we discovered open in a Bible on the altar. And I went home. That was Tuesday. On Thursday, she called me to say that he had regained movement in his upper body. He would have use of his arms. He could also begin to weight bear. Previously, he'd been in a full body cast, basically staring at the ceiling, facing a very long future in such a way. He had asked for a Bible. He'd met with the chaplain and he had prayed. And he had begun reading Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. The prayer then changed. We prayed specifically that he would wiggle his foot, because if it was wiggleable, there was a future. One day, with a lot of hard work, he might regain the ability to walk. So we began praying really specifically every day that he would wiggle his feet. And 2 grueling weeks later, he did. It is a long and a painful road ahead of them. And Steve is finding, as he prays, as he takes those tentative steps into a relationship with God, he's finding that there is someone who is listening. On the other end of his prayers, there's someone who is listening and actually wants to talk back to him, who wants to be in a relationship with him. And he is finding that prayers change things. I have a video I want to show you, but just as that loads up, I just want to remind you that this is a man who was told he would be completely paralyzed from the neck down. This is where we were a couple of weeks ago. He gets very frustrated at the end because he's a really driven guy. But there is extraordinary change that has happened in a very short space of time. And the future now is that one day he will walk. The future now is that one day they might have a family, which was off the cards. The future is filled with hope. It's not easy, and I don't want to undermine that. But there is hope in prayer, and praise God for it. Because we believe that prayer changes things. We've been talking together, some of us who are key to the prayer life of this church, about how we can take our prayer life forward. And one of the decisions that we've made is to keep the joint church's prayer meetings. And those of you who've been there will know, I personally am greatly enriched by praying with the guys from All Saints. They are absolute warriors. But we're going to add an additional element. As you know, I am passionate about the ministry of all believers. So we want to add something in to our prayer life as a church. And there's a slide for this as well. Our joint prayer meetings going forward are going to have a focus each time. Now, we're going to do the usual stuff of prayer. We'll be interceding for the world. We'll be waiting on God. But each time we meet together to pray, we're going to be praying specifically for you lot out there in your contexts, doing the stuff, doing ministry. So January, we're going to be praying for anyone involved in the caring professions. That's medical, care homes, midwives, health visitors, anything where you care for people. Come and be prayed for. If you are passionate about this topic, come and pray for these people. Every time we want to bless people and commission them and send them out into their context to be a light empowered by the Spirit. February 10th, children, anyone who works with children, teachers, teaching assistants, are you a stay-at-home mum or a stay-at-home dad? Are you a grandparent? Come and be prayed for. The future of our children is vitally important. March, public servants, do you work for the Heritage Foundation? Are you a local councillor? Do you serve on government? Are you a school governor? Do you serve the public in any way? Come and be prayed for. Be filled with the Spirit and go out. April, finance and business. Do you have your own business? Do you work in the city? Do you work from home? Are you an accountant? Etc., etc. Come and be prayed for. May education, academia, a teacher, TA, a school, university lecturer, come and be prayed for. And in June, arts and the creative, musicians, actors, painters, designers, come and be prayed for. And come and pray for these people. Bless them and send them out into the community. We've only got as far as June. We'll see how it goes. Prayer changes things. It changes us. And that brings me to my final point. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted in prayer. Now, this has always seemed slightly odd to me because Jesus knew. Jesus is fully divine. He knew exactly what Bartimaeus wanted. I believe what he was asking was, Bartimaeus, are you prepared to change? And all that comes with that, are you prepared to change? And Bartimaeus rises to the challenge splendidly. He wants a new life, not just his sight, but the chance to follow Jesus and all that that means. Immediately, he regained his sight and he followed him. Two things are happening here. Firstly, he is physically healed, but he also receives social and emotional healing. He would have been a total outcast. But in order for Bartimaeus to receive that, he had to take that risk. He had to get out of the comfort zone that he knew and take a risk on Jesus. And that potential is with us every time we dare to come into the presence of God and pray. Before I close, I have to draw your attention to our prayer corner at the back. If ever anything that is said in one of the sermons here touches on something in you and you feel that you want to sit with someone and just be heard or to pray and to receive prayer, please do make use of that area at the back of church. I want prayer to be at the roots and foundation of all that we do. Jesus knew that prayer was a relationship. And he prayed to the Father before he went out and did the stuff. And he knew that prayer would change things. So let's go out from here today renewed in our prayer life, committed to living a life in relationship filled with prayer. And let us dare to listen to what God might say in response and prepare ourselves to be changed by him. So that, like Bartimaeus, we can live freely and love generously, just as Jesus did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to be a people of prayer. Deepen our relationship with you and with others through prayer. And like Bartimaeus, Lord, when Jesus asks if we are prepared to change, give us the courage to say yes, Lord. Yes and amen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.